The panelists will each reflect a little bit on this issue of spiritual growth at Holden. They each come from different extensive experiences on the subject, and I think it's something that they all take very seriously, and therefore will be something that they'll each have something to give to us that we can learn from. I'm going to begin with a few comments that I found today on Quaker spirituality, two precepts. I found it in this book called their magazine, Spiritual Life, that's over in this room of magazines right over here. It talks about two precepts of Quaker spirituality that I thought were helpful to me and might be helpful to share with you in terms of thinking about the role of spirituality in all of our lives. Under the silent, watchful eye of the Holy One, we are all standing, whether we know it or not. And in that center, in that holy abyss, where the Eternal dwells at the base of our being, our programs, our gifts to God, our offerings of duties performed, are again and again revised in their values. Many of the things we are doing seem so important to us. We haven't been able to say no to them because they seem so important. But if we center down, as the old Quaker phrase goes, and live in that holy silence which is clearer than life, and take our life program into the silent places of the heart with complete openness, ready to do, ready to renounce according to his leading, then many of the things we are doing lose their vitality for us. I should like to testify to this as a personal experience graciously given. There is a re-evaluation of much that we do or try to do, which is done for us by our God, and we know then what to do and what to let alone. Kelly, the person who wrote this, conviction that we are all standing under the silent, watchful eye of the Holy One is not peculiar to him or to the Quakers. Many others drawn to God have realized that if God is truly what we say about God, every moment unfolds before God. No thought or desire escapes God's knowing. Kelly, though, is more direct than most in making the constant presence of God his spiritual center. Alternately, he calls it a holy abyss. Our center is not ourselves. Something awesome yawns in our depths. The eternal, the divine mystery itself, dwells at the foundation of our being, is the foundation of our being. That's the first precept, and I feel that I can't, although it's tempting to leave it there, I can't quite just leave it there, because the second one among the Quakers, as you probably all know, is action for justice. And the helpful thing in this article that I read today is that the action for justice comes out of the first place, out of the centering down, the quietness, the holy abyss within us. So that once that is established in us, and only when that is established in us, is it clear what our duties and obligations and gifts and responsibilities are to the world around us. And so we don't have a kind of frenetic attention to duty that comes from somewhere outside of ourselves, but instead it sorts and becomes prioritized because of the centering down spiritually within ourselves. So that's a gift from the Quakers to us all tonight. Jeff, would you start?
You want to?
I would like to.
We have, what would you like, 4 minutes? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm an extrovert, and and being in Holden for a winter has made me more introspective, which is, I guess, a form of spiritual growth. Emily and I are ending the first year of our marriage. Not ending our marriage, just ending the first year of our marriage. All but the first month of which we spent up here, so it's been a time of pretty tremendous personal growth for me here, spiritual growth too. But the harder news I have is that that's been more in spite of the place than because of the place, and that's not what I expected when I came. So I'm going to try and talk about that for just a couple minutes. What was challenging, especially in the wintertime, about being here for me. The summertime for me, well, okay, most of my spiritual growth happens when I'm quiet and when I'm either alone or with someone that I can trust in and talk with for a pretty long stretch of time. And Emily is a good person for that. That's my wife. But the time was more of a problem. It's funny, you expect coming to a retreat center in the wintertime, it would be relatively easy that you'll just have these vast stretches of time in which you can just sit back and talk about what's on your mind and struggle with really hard questions. But yeah, I see the other married people just laughing like, man, hey, I can get it either. And I found being here this winter that it felt like I was always just trying to keep up with my work or with the work and the life of the village. I had an image in my mind of an energy pool that once you agree to join the community, if you really fully join, you pitch your energy into this pool. And people who need that energy draw on the pool, and you're sucked into it whether you want to or not. And you know, you may not get back as much as you put in, and I found that to be the case. This winter we had some difficult stuff going on in the village that just would take away my kind of, you see the Star Trek movie where they put those little worms in the in someone's ears and crawl, ate their way into their brains? That's kind of like how it felt. Like I didn't have much control over this. You know, some of my energy just got taken away from me and I couldn't use it as I wished to use it here. So first of all, it felt like I was just trying to keep up with the life of the community, that there's all kinds of stuff going on and that there's sort of this all-consuming energy that goes on in the village, and that I'm free to draw on it, but there wasn't much there to draw from. I didn't feel like it was a positive investment for me. So I found that most of my meaningful spiritual growth happened either individually when I was quiet and by myself or talking with Em. And we ended up having to be really rigorous about setting aside an hour a day just to sit down with each other and talk. And it felt really funny to have to schedule that. They were kind of working against the notion of the place to do that. One of the things I was expecting when I came, and that really hasn't happened, is that we'd have more, happened for me, excuse me, that there'd be more meaningful public expressions of, or public, what's the word? I say public kicks in the butt for spiritual growth. Things that happened in a public worship, like a Vespers or something, that would inspire some kind of growth. And I found that there's really a very narrow range of what's acceptable here in Vespers, especially in the summertime when the emphasis is so much on hospitality and not offending anyone, that not a lot of challenge comes out of Miltosi kinds of worship services. So that there isn't a lot of inspiring stuff for me in those situations, and that was kind of sad too for me. Emily talks about this as Holden has a habit of thankfulness, like when we say the prayers before the meals, we read off the yellow cards and we all know the prayers, and you know, we have our favorite prayers and the favorite words and the favorite prayers and things, but that it's just this way of sort of smiling at each other before we start the meal, and there is value in that, but there isn't a lot of spiritual growth in it. And for me, so I found myself not finding a lot in the public arena and not finding a lot of time to pursue it in the private arena. And it's just lately that I've come to find ways for myself to do that. And that's been by learning my two little things that I'm hanging on to. One is to pick your battles, that I found that I can reclaim that energy that I dumped into the pool when I need it. And I do that by saying, you know, oh, they're fighting with each other. Well, that's interesting. I hope they resolve it, you know, and not have to deal with it myself. And at the same time, the harder trick has been not to denigrate it just because I'm not joining it. You know, it's a stupid battle. That's why I'm not joining in. It can be a fine battle. It can be a battle royale. It can be a terrific battle, but it's happening over there, and it doesn't have to take my energy. So I'm just going to pick my battles. The other thing I'm doing is learning. I didn't know about myself when I came here that I found God. I find God most when I'm by myself and when I'm quiet, or when I'm in a conversation where I'm all present and the other person is as well. I didn't know that. So the other thing I'm hanging on to is to know where I meet God and then go there as often as I can. Make the time to do that, to say no to people who want things from me, and to feel all right about that, but that's an okay reason to be here.
So it's been kind of frustrating. That's good. Thank you. Helpful.
You're welcome.
Ben, how about you?
The reason I came here was that there was work. And I love the work.
And what do I do to stay sane? Because I don't think the word is something you drive on forever. And 15 years ago, I developed a habit. So I don't pick on people who say they have habits, because habits can be good and bad. I think for me, it has been good. I get up early, so I can have quiet time by myself. And opposite to Jeff, I'm an introvert. The group that I was with, when we took the test, I scored the most points for introverts than anybody. I get up and read in the morning at 5:30 and spend time alone. I write letters. And I really enjoy that time. That teaches me. Then I have the opportunity to get going and wake up my wife, later my son. That's how we start our day here. I have also made it a habit to attend the morning Bible study. It's every other day in the winter time, and every day except Sunday in the summertime. And I love the sessions. When I met Scott Hasserud, it was outside the village, and he asked me, why did you want to come? And one of the things I said to him, I want to be challenged. And like Jeff, I haven't been challenged, and Scott told me, don't expect it. But I do find some challenges at sessions, especially at the forums where everyone has a chance to give an input. There are always some gold coins to be thrown out. I also like the community gatherings very much, which is really strange, because I noticed that Jeff gets his strength from the quiet moment. But I find strength in being with other people, because that's where I get input that I can digest. And that doesn't mean that there's a whole lot to pick up at every forum or session that you go to, but I brought something else with me, so I was picking up something out of my What I try to do, because I'm the head carpenter, to make the people who I work with also have be able to pick up some of the stuff that I do. I tell them that make sure that you figure out when your wife has her schedule so that you both have the same day off, because society showed a little while ago with the readings that there's a lot to be gained by being out in the wilderness alone and the creation around us. This is an extremely beautiful place. And then there's a defense that I've set up. I said I came here to work, and I like to keep a certain schedule. In the wintertime, other people are very sloppy with their schedule. So I just have to cut through that. And one example is that in the morning we eat from 7:30 to 8, and then we can go home and start working whenever we please. But the people who announce are so sloppy with doing the announcements that you can hardly get out of the dining hall by 8 o'clock. So I just go home, brush my teeth, and then the mattings and the announcements can happen at 10 o'clock. As far as I'm concerned, I can do it. It's not my job. And it's taking me a while to just decide that this is my time and this is theirs. And the only things we're required to do is work, come to rest, and staff meetings.
Thank you. Anne.
One of the primary reasons that I came to Holden was for spiritual journey. About 3 months ago, I was fortunate in connecting up with a sister at Merrillhurst College. I'm from Portland, and she's a Sister of the Holy Names, has been for 40 years, and her name is Sister Dolores, and she has started me on a path of spiritual journey. And it became very clear to me after my spring commitments were done that it would be really grand if I could find an environment in which journeying could be done on a daily basis with very few distractions. So I came to Holden for that reason. And one of the biggest discoveries that I found being here is that journeying here in Holden isn't a whole lot different than in the city. The reason I say that is because once you get into the flow of the community, once you get to know a multitude of people, develop friendships, want to go on walks with people, play cards, go to dances, you know, there's lots of things to do. There are just as many distractions at Holden as there are in what some of us call the outside world. In my spiritual journey, the thing that I've had to figure out first is the vehicle in which I was going to journey. Several vehicles that I have found that have been successful, that some have already been mentioned, are quiet times by myself, whether that be walking or lying on my bed or sitting in a quiet place. Conversations with people, and I'm talking about meaningful conversations that probe into the depths of your mind, challenge your thinking, cause you reason to think other than just, you know, how's the weather and where are you from and what did your parents do type conversations. Readings, there's a multitude of books and reading materials we've all delved into. And also I've discovered the richness of the tape ministry library. And I've faithfully listened to tapes, of which are not necessarily available in the outside world, which would be a bonus. So first of all, you have to figure out your vehicle of how you're going to journey. And it could be a variety of vehicles. Then I think you really have to take a look at a triangle, an equilateral triangle. And at the top of the triangle is a word, commitment. Commitment to do the journey. At one of the bottom points, the word is discipline. Discipline to do it. Above all else, you've made a commitment to journey. Now you're going to discipline yourself to do it. And at the other point of the triangle is the word sacrifice. And that may mean saying no to a hike to Heart Lake when you've scheduled your hour, hour and a half, 2 hours to journey, or to be by yourself. I keep coming back to that triangle, and not just in journeying, but just in other parts of my life also. Commitment, make a commitment to do it, discipline to do the action, and perhaps sacrifice. I don't think journeying is an easy thing. In fact, I can think of probably a dozen reasons each day not to take time for myself. In fact, at the end of each day, I actually feel very proud of myself if I have taken some special time to do that. And it feels good, it feels enriching, and it feels full. But if I can leave you with any thought tonight about your special place in your life, remember the triangle. And you can put the words in any order. And come back to it, not just in your journeying adventures, but perhaps in other work that you're also doing in your life.
Okay, I guess, I think a lot of ways my spiritual journey really hasn't changed since I've been at Holden. It's been a continuation of a struggle I've had for quite some time. I think I feel a sense of where God's calling me in my life. I have a sense of what are the important things and what aren't. But my hardest thing, I guess, is the discipline and the sacrifice. Just all the intentions to try to bring about change in my own spiritual life and growth, I tend to get frustrated with that. And so I'll talk more idealistically what I would envision for myself because I think you have to have a vision of what, you know, what your goal is. And so I'll talk more about that. First of all, I think that I've learned here more than anywhere else the importance of taking care of yourself physically, getting enough sleep, eating properly, exercising, and balance between your work and your play. Just being the groundwork for entering, I guess, the prerequisite courses for then beginning to focus on your spiritual life, your spiritual journey, your relationship with God. My own theology more and more becomes simplified in terms of, I guess I'd call it relational, meaning this quote I've quoted a number of times in Vespers and Matins, I really like it. And it says that in Christianity began in Palestine as a relationship. It went to Greece and became a philosophy. It went to Rome, became an institution. Europe became a culture. And here in America, it became an enterprise. And that the whole, maybe, goal of a Christian is to bring it back to that original relationship. So I guess my spiritual mentor would be Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof. Because I love how he just makes his relationship with God just part of his daily life. He's looking up there and he's so honest and open. And there's a constant flow, it seems like. And I've always just loved that. So I guess if you look at what I would say is an idealized setting for spiritual growth here at Holden, I'd sort of see it in terms of concentric circles. In the center circle, well, probably in the very core, is that taking care of yourself that I talked about, is sort of a prerequisite. And then the next circle then would be the spiritual disciplines. One of my favorite books, and one of those desert island books, if you're marooned on a desert island kind of book, that I've always loved, is Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline. It's just one of my favorites. I can read it again and again. Of course, that's kind of like that quote tonight on the wilderness thing that he said. It's more fun, we can spend more time reading about solitude than actually experience it. And I tend to do that. But the discipline in a positive sense. I'm a musician. I know the value of practice. I would not be able to be anything of a musician unless I practice. So I really feel as though there has to be intentional discipline. It sounds oppressive, but I think it has to be there. All my joy from music only comes because I've worked hard to practice. The next concentric circle would be worship. I think that it's important to do it even when you don't feel like it, or be there anyway, I mean. And it's important because it connects your spiritual life with the lives of others and community. So that's an important thing daily. And that's a value I really appreciate here at Holden, is that commitment. You know, I think if that commitment ever disappeared at Holden, I would be gone. You know, I just think it's so important for me. Then there's finally, I guess, the intention, the final circle is then involvement. And those are ways that require energy on my behalf and involvement with others. Could be attending sessions, doing matins or vespers, and conversations. Sven challenged us earlier this winter to spend more time talking about God in our community. And one thing that frustrates me about Lutherans, and yet I can totally relate to because that's where I come from, is we just... And it's scary and it's... You don't talk about it. So you do it in very structured... whatever, you get your God fix. And so I guess the last thing, it's been very positive, but I would like to mention some frustrations I've missed. I've missed small group focus here at Holden. I haven't discovered that here. And that was a very special part of my life before I came here. But the problem, Amy and I, my wife and I, have tried to start small group type of things, but the problem here is the transiency. And you just can't develop the kind of closeness and vulnerability that it takes to drop down the barriers and in a small group. I miss the chance to see more of the world's needs face to face. Here we talk a lot about it up here. We're very aware of it, but I think we're kind of removed from it. And finally, I sometimes feel as though Holden deals with a lot of people who are disenfranchised from the church. That's the way one community member described it last winter. And it's frustrating for me sometimes because I feel like we sort of drop our spiritual language and our energy kind of to the lowest common denominator in a sense. I feel like sometimes we're so afraid to offend somebody that might be that we just don't dig into it as deep as I had hoped. And so that changes, we bring in teachers that can just take you right down in a submarine to the deepest areas that you just kind of explore, never even dreamed of exploring. But in general, I guess I'm speaking in terms of community. Sometimes I think that could be more, it could be deeper that way. But I guess the final thing I'll say is that as far as community goes, I think it's important to, the involvement is the most important thing. And it's easy to complain, but it's more important than to see maybe God's calling you. If you, like for us, for Amy and I, we sense like we need a small group here, so we tried to start one. And I think, and that didn't work out, but in many cases, when you feel a need or a call, then stop complaining about it. And I've sensed that that's God's call for you to see whether maybe that's where you're being called for action in your own life. So that's.
Well, thank you to our four panelists. I think they've given us a lot of grist for the mill, many things to think about. So now it's your turn. This is a chance at Holden. We can disagree with one another and not have to be angry. We can even get angry and it'll be okay. But it's a chance for us each to bring the gifts that we have and put them in the circle and share them with others. So who's going to be first?
I have a couple of reactions.
Okay, good.
I guess I heard the word frustration pretty often, and I think that I guess I want to contradict or challenge Stan and Jeff's idea that they wanted to be more challenged here. I think that frustration is the challenge. At least it is, has been for me in my life. The little everyday things that this, I had a poster at one time that said, it's easy to be an angel if nobody ruffles your feathers. Well, it's easy to be deeply spiritual and religious if the environment is just perfect. But this world is not perfect, and it's in dealing with the imperfections that we grow the most, I think. And then my other reaction is to the discipline and commitment. And I am committed, but I was raised in all the work ethic. And I always thought, well, if I just work hard enough and do everything right, I'm going to get what I want. Well, it didn't work out that way. So now I'm trying to let things happen as opposed to controlling them into a certain direction all the time.
That's helpful. That's a nice reminder that there are no formulas in life. Who else has something they'd like to bring into the discussion?
I You were talking in small groups about, you wanted to get together in small groups and just talk about stuff like relationship with God and experiences with stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've thought about that myself since I've been up here. I would like to get together and get together with people and talk and stuff like that and kind of bat around ideas and concepts and stuff like that. So if you still want to get them together and do that, that sounds, I'd be in for that.
Yeah. Maybe at the end of this evening we should have people who are interested in starting an ongoing meeting. Find out who each other is.
You are at the end of the session, and I would like to ask you, what is spiritual growth according to your opinion?
I don't think that spiritual growth is something that any one of us ever gets to the end of, in my view, but it's a path that we're on. And I think the path, I'm not sure how I don't think I could define it without thinking about it a lot, but I certainly think it's different person, but it certainly is my, in my case, it's my relationship with my God and how I feel right with my God and the world I live in. And all of that sort of a triangle for me, I guess, is my God relationship and my world relationship and how I function within them. And I don't feel good if I'm spinning my wheels and not being productive. I don't feel good if I'm not growing. I feel stagnant. So I want to keep myself on a path. I want to keep moving. But the question you ask is way too profound for someone like me. So someone else should answer it.
What is your goal?
No goals allowed for me. All I can do is just keep moving.
I could answer that.
Good.
Just for me. My goal is just to see the path.
Yes. Every day.
And I think, Kay, to address some of the stuff you said, when I came here, I had an expectation that the path would be clearer here because a lot of the obstacles that were part of my teaching life away from here would be gone, and they are in fact gone, but I think I found maybe more obstacles here than there. And that's where the frustration comes from. I agree, I've learned a lot through that frustration, but when it's not frustration I expected, that's an extra frustration.
Steve mentioned about how spiritual journey involved a lot with relationship. Over the years, I've had my own ideas about what my spiritual journey could be like, but the part that has meant the most to me is relationships with two friends. One of the most growthful times has been in cribbage games with a good friend of mine. As we're playing cards, we're talking about things which mean a lot to us. And it wasn't a structured setting. It wasn't something that was part of program planning or anything like that. It was just getting together with a friend and willing to spend time, willing to learn about each other, learning to challenge and explore. And I won't look for cringy answers.
I think there's a sort of underlying assumption among much of what we say here at Holden that we find God in nature and we find God in nature. And I think we find God within ourselves. I wonder how you feel about that. Does that feel like sacrilege to some of you, or does that feel like it's the right thing?
Mm-hmm. I guess my comment when I'm listening to all these people talk is I don't hear anybody talking about humor and laughing at yourself and taking life so serious. That's one of the things that I still sort of struggle with myself, but I think that using humor and laughing at yourself or with others is part of the spiritual life within oneself as well. And when you're talking, Steve was talking about blue friends or whatever, I think that that's really important in personal growth and I think maybe that's something that we should think about. Also, listening to Jeff, I have found for myself that being a nurse here, I'm not able to leave until there's another nurse. So I find at this point, I've been here 7 weeks, that it's really important for me to have that client and to take good care of myself and not get triangled in. That triangling of people not being direct, and you know, I think that's really a negative. And I really have a problem with that. So I don't know. Can anybody talk about what they do to just be more direct? And I think that is part of being what I think is respecting values for one another as part of my Christian spirituality. I hear a lot of sort of talking, people talking not directly about the problem, but and I guess I felt that where I came from, I saw a lot of that, and I thought when I came here, I would deal with that. So that's sort of an ideal that I thought this would not go on in this kind of community.
Everybody in a Christian adult retreat center is perfect. You should know that. No one would ever say anything indirectly to somebody else or not. Right.
I don't understand what you meant, Gail. You said, we talked about Lutheran, and I think we should look at that. What did you mean?
Well, I think they were just talking about seriousness, that we don't laugh very much.
Okay.
And we took ourselves too serious.
Yeah, but old Indian jokes are really.
Did I see a hand over here?
Yes, not yet. A friend of mine used to always tell me that no matter where you go, there you are. And I'm here now, and sure enough, it's true. While the petty annoyances of life, such as commuting, are blissfully absent, the issues that I grappled with out there are amazingly also here on a smaller scale. But I think what is different is the opportunity to share the grappling, because here I am not in isolation. There are good neighbors, and access to good neighbors. If not, the time frame is not really that different. I mean, this is real life, and we're on the same 24-hour clock with more work than we can do, just like we were at our last job and our next job. So maybe I came with lower expectations of how idyllic it was. Again, I've been here before. So, and as far as seeing the path, Jeff, the point is that you can tell when you're not on the path. It's like walking on gravel in the dark. You can feel when you're not on the path, but the path itself is only clear by contrast to not being on the path.
You're talking about yourself now.
Yeah, I think that's probably true for a lot of people, is that you can sense not being on the path and seek to get back on the path. But when you're on the path, you cannot see where you're going. Just intuitively know when you're not there.
This is not too profound, but...
Well, then I'm sorry, you can't see it.
Please. I hate to
We've been coming out here for some time, and I think what I discovered was how Christian community could be. Maybe it wasn't always there, but I saw some examples, and it was kind of a sad testimonial that I didn't catch that back home in the church. But I think that's one of the first things that sold me on Holden Village was the intimacy and the openness and the willingness to undertake some of the sticky issues and to really be honest with one another. And I think that it energizes me, now that I'm getting up in older years, to be with younger people, you know, like Jeff. And not always agreeing with each other. So, as I said, it wasn't so fun, but I just want to share that.
Thank you. I wonder about how some of you feel that are here this week for the first time. Is there other people in the room who are having that experience? And has this been a satisfying time for you? And do you feel that it was okay in some way? Or it sounds like nobody wants to make a single comment about it.
Well, I'm just grateful that there is a camp, or whatever you want to call it, that where Christians can go and meet other Christians as well as people of other religions, perhaps, and you're just spending a week here, and I think it's just the greatest place. What I liked most in the literature was the limited meat meals, because usually if you go on vacation and you've eaten very poorly for a whole week, and it takes a long time to straighten out.